us, create an atmosphere for our students to encounter Jesus Christ, to learn what it means to believe, to learn about what God's doing around the world, and to learn a little bit about what they can do to live on mission here in San Antonio. And we spent the weekend asking the Lord what it means for us to be included in God's plan. And so I want to tell you a little bit about that and just tell you and tell you a little bit about the people who made that possible. Our students spent the weekend walking through some challenges specifically designed to help us understand what it means to believe, what it means to know about God's global purposes, and what it means to understand how he desires to include us in those plans. And we have some amazing students. They were stretched to experience a weekend outside their comfort zone. Many of them slept in boxes outside both nights, Friday night and Saturday night. I think we have a picture to show you. And so they were stretched to just be out of their comfort zones. Yep, there they are. That's early this morning at about 7 o'clock. Eli told me a few minutes ago that over there where the guys were staying, there was some frost on the top of those boxes. Also, last night, something incredible happened where we just had a chance to read God's word together, and some of our students preached their very first message. I just want to tell you a little bit about what some of them had to say. I took some notes just to be able to share with you because it was pretty incredible. On this platform, we had some students teaching us a little bit about what it means to seek God, exhorting us not to be afraid to suffer. Don't put God in a box because he wants to do amazing things with us. That God can use anybody because he has the amazing ability to take bad things in our lives and use it for his glory. Some parents, some of your teenagers stood on this stage just teaching us what it means to be devoted to God, that in and through us, he can accomplish anything when we walk together. That when eternal life is our goal, we can walk through hard times because God is a rewarder of those who seek him. That God gives us incredible blessings, especially his Holy Spirit. Some of them challenged us to be ready, to have courage, when we give to God, it's so worth it. He can destroy distractions in our lives. And that no matter what we have done, God wants to use us to share his word. All we have to do is ask him. That God wants us to show how much he loves the world in and through our actions. And even when you are far from God, he always takes you back. Because God has a bigger plan for your life. It's bigger than even the scary people in your life. You see, we like to provide an opportunity that stretches students. Because over the last 20 years of student ministry, one thing that I have come to know and understand is that students have an incredible capacity to trust God. And I want you to know that we have some incredible students in our student ministry. And parents, thank you for just choosing this place as a place to share those students with us so we can partner together to see what God's doing in their lives. And I think even in this room last night, there were some who would respond to God's call on their lives to take the gospel to their schools. And some of them said yes, that they wanted to explore the idea of what it would mean for them when they graduate from high school or college to go on and be a missionary. There's some people that I need to thank that helped provide that helped provide that opportunity. We have an amazing team of adult life group leaders. Some of them slept in boxes themselves. I think Sam Johnson's in the room. Sam's the oldest person I know that slept in a box. If you see him, give him a high five today. We had some amazing college students who came in from out of town, some former Blaze graduates. It's always a blessing to me to see some of those guys return. Brian McCleary and our awesome Crossridge worship team did an incredible job of leading our students into the presence of the Lord each and every evening. And our awesome Ablaze student ministry staff, that's Jesse Kieslidge, Eli Harkey, Pam Jeffries, Christy Stott, Lex Lopez, Peyton Poorman, Kyle Watson, Evan Warren, and Serena Coulter did an amazing job of organizing the entire weekend. So would you just give them a thank offering? I also want to thank our lead pastor, Kirk Freeman, who gives me an opportunity to be able to share in moments like these. He's in Mexico this morning with about 100 other members of our Crossbridge Faith family who are on their own Global Impact Weekend, ministering to families in Mexico, building homes, and providing an opportunity for people in Mexico to come to know Jesus. And finally, I want to thank my family, Emery, Anna, and Sarah Grace, who put up with me in times like these. And Sarah Grace and I share a birthday, and most oftentimes it falls on Global Impact Weekend. So Sarah Grace, happy birthday. Our theme verse for the weekend was Hebrews 11:6. And together we were on a quest to understand what faith is, because the author of Hebrews tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please him. And I don't know about you, when I read that, it's like this truth bomb that goes off in my mind that says, hey, pay attention to these next two statements. Because if I want to please God, if I want to satisfy God, I have to know what faith is. And he tells us that for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he is the rewarder of those who seek him. And believing that he exists is so much more than just a statement of fact or an item of knowledge that I store in my brain. To believe that he exists means to understand and know and trust that he is the God who he says he is. Complicated statement, probably not really great English, but that God is who he says he is. And I've discovered, at least in my own life, that that's problematic at times. Because I can understand and grasp that he exists. That's not difficult for me. I know it is for some, but that's not difficult for me. But trusting him, taking him at his word, that he is who he says he is, and that he will accomplish everything that he said he would accomplish, at times can be difficult when I'm facing an obstacle. And so when I'm facing an obstacle, it's important that I not just believe that he exists, but I also believe that he is the rewarder of those who seek him. And so our students spent the weekend just exploring that text and just deciding, hey, God, we're going to take you at your word and trust that you are who you say you are and that you're a rewarder of those who seek him. And so we just want to do that right now one more time together. I know we've prayed twice already, but I want us to pray over our students who experienced Global Impact this weekend, that they would continue when they leave this place to trust that God is who he says he is and that he's a rewarder for those who seek him. But also want us to take the opportunity to pray for the ministry that's happening right now in Reynosa, that God would reveal himself to people there who may not know him, and that they would find him as the God who rewards those who seek him. So I'm going to ask our students and the people who are a part of Global Impact just to stand right now so we can kind of extend an arm in their direction. And if you'd join me in praying for these guys. Last night, we spent some time commissioning them for some of the decisions that they make, but I wanted to affirm them in front of you guys so that we could trust the Lord together for what God's going to continue to do in their lives. So would you just kind of extend a hand, and I'll pray for us all. God, I thank you that this is true, and I thank you that we can believe not only that you exist, that you are who you say you are, but that you're a rewarder of those who seek you. And God, I thank you for these students that I love very much and those that spent this weekend seeking after you. And God, I pray that you would open their eyes to the treasure that you are, the very great reward that you have for them, that is theirs to take a hold of. And God, as we, as a faith family, pray over them, God, we ask that you would continue to cause them to walk into places, have relationships with people, that they can carry your name, take your name to them and share the gospel with them, whether that's here in San Antonio in a context that they are very familiar with or to the nations. God, we ask that you would bless them. We ask that you would shine your face upon them. We pray for our team that's in Mexico this morning. God, we pray that they too would see a reward. And the people that they're ministering to would realize that reward and that many would come to know Jesus as a result of the ministry that's happening there. Not because Crossbridge is there, or not simply because we're building a home, but because, God, you are a God who desires to draw all people to you. You wish that none would perish, but all would have eternal life. And so, God, we pray for that team, and we pray with great expectation, believing that you are who you say you are, and with the excitement in our hearts to be able to come in a few weeks and hear of the great stories that will be told as a result of the ministry that's happening in Reynosa this week. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. So I want to show you a short video of what it means, I think, to believe that Jesus really does want to include us in what he is doing. So take a look at this video for you. Thank you. You missed it. I've missed it. Chances are that you've missed it. What did he miss? He missed the specific moment in time when he could have been a part of God using him to be a blessing to someone else. And that blessing just isn't picking up the oranges that the young man dropped. That blessing is when God uses an individual, or when God would use the young man to be a part of helping him understand who Jesus is, that God exists, and that he is the rewarder of those who seek him. Our Global Impact Weekend was all about that, helping our students realize and understand how to be a part of God's plan, about how Jesus' desire is to include us in what he is doing. And this morning, I want us to explore a story from Acts chapter 9 that I think has some observations, some clues to what it means for us not to miss opportunities like that. And the specific goal, the specific thing that I'm asking God to do this morning in all of our hearts is to help us understand what it really means to believe that Jesus wants to include us. But before we do that, I want to take an opportunity this morning to let you know a little bit about one of my new missions in life. I shared with you a minute ago that I'm a year older today, and I don't know if it's a midlife crisis or what, but we always have great music, great worship at Global Impact, and so I wanted to see if Brian McCleary would ever let me join the worship team. And so I figured out that it's great for your midlife crisis, or Amazon Prime Now is a great tool if you're going through a midlife crisis, because yesterday I jumped on and bought me some things in preparation for my audition this morning to just see if Brian would be open to me joining the worship team. And I thought, you know what, they've got the keyboard, they've got guitarists, they've got a drummer. I'm not that great of a singer, but I noticed that there's nobody up here playing the maracas. And so I think that I could rock the maracas for Jesus, and there's probably a spot, maybe right over here, that I could just kind of stand here and just do my thing, right? And that this would probably be a great addition to the worship team. We live in San Antonio, and I could just stand here and do this. But I also was playing around with them and noticed they're not that loud. And so then I thought, you know what, I think it'd be a better idea if I was the tambourine player, because this bad boy is awesome, and I could really put my skills on display for all of you guys in worship, as I just might just like help us keep time right there. For all you troubled clappers out there, just keep on going with me right here. And so maybe it would be the tambourine. But then also, I thought that, you know what, the triangle is, I think, is underutilized in worship, because it can do some of those other things. But you know what? If Brian were to pick a song next year at Global Impact, and he's building to this incredible moment in worship where he wants us all to be focused on what's coming next, you know, they could do that thing where they build it up, build it up, build it up, and then pause, and I could. Right there, man. And I'm thinking that, you know, the tambourine requires a little bit more rhythm than I have, but I could do this. Right there, right? And that would be perfect for me to make an appeal to be included in Global Impact Worship next year. So you guys just be ready. Brian's going to be picking a song, and there's going to be a moment, and I'm just going to right there, and you're going to help me realize my dreams of being included in the worship team. But you see, the real problem, the real issue is that to really be a part of the team, you have to be a musician, and I'm not one. I don't sing well. I don't have a lot of rhythm. I don't, in fact, I don't have any gift, I think, that would make me a viable candidate to be a part of the worship team. But what I do have is passion. And I want you to realize this morning that when we think about these specific moments in time, these opportunities that all of us have to just pray that prayer, like Pastor Kirk teaches us often, to wait before the Lord and then to ask God to be for us to be included in what he's doing today in our lives and in people's lives. A lot of times we focus on the obstacle that's in front of us. Maybe we're people who are shy. Maybe we are people who don't know if we have all the answers. If I began a conversation about the gospel with somebody, would I really be able to have all the answers that they have? Maybe we're so busy. Maybe it is that we just don't know. We think we don't know any people who don't know Jesus. We don't know any lost people. And we focus on the obstacle when perhaps what God really wants us to do is focus on how he creates a passion inside of somebody that overcomes every one of those obstacles. And so as we read Acts chapter 9 this morning, what I want you to do is ask the Lord to help you see and understand how what is in the text, what's in the story might be a truth that God would speak to you that would help you take your eyes off the obstacles that you focus on and focus on the source of the passion that must be in your life, the source of that belief, so that you could overcome those obstacles. Because Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the word of God. And we already noticed, we already observed that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So when I connect the two of those things together, I can know this is true this morning. That from the word of God, that as we notice those truths, as we examine those truths, as we take them into our heart, God will use the truth of his word to plant seeds of faith. And those seeds of faith, they grow in such a way that real faith is produced. And that real faith pleases God and causes me to be able to overcome those obstacles, because that's what God does. They cause me to come into a place where I can realize the reward that is to be received. And that's really what I'm praying happens this morning. That's what I have been praying and hoped happened for our students this weekend. And this morning, as we begin to read it, I want you just to be an active participant in this process. Don't allow it just to be me reading the story. Observe with me. Ask the Lord what he might have for you as we read the story. So Acts chapter 9, verse 1 tells us that Saul was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. And so he went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Verse 3, now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Verse 5, and he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, answering back, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. Verse 7, the men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. And Saul arose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and he neither ate nor drank. Verse 10, now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias? He said, here am I, Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias. Come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight. Verse 13, but Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my sake. Verse 17, so Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he arose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. You know, there's so much there in this text this morning that we could try to unpack. I'm blown away by the different contexts that we see. Paul, this terrorist on the road to Damascus with these, or Saul, excuse me, on the road to Damascus with the orders to really kind of terrorize Christians in any way he seemed fit. Then he comes face to face with Jesus, Jesus speaking to him from the heavens in such a way that he's blinded and in such a way that the people around him were amazed. The Bible tells us that they were, right, speechless. And then on the way and on the journey to Damascus, for 3 days, he's there. We learn from the end of the story that in those 3 days is when he gets this vision. So God is continually speaking to Saul, but he goes without food and he's in this blind state. And at that very same time, another significant moment is happening for Ananias, right? He's hearing from the Lord. He's understanding that God has a specific moment in time planned for him. And like maybe many of us, when that specific moment in time is placed in front of us, we question our ability to get the job done. You know, I'm not saying that you do this. I know that I have. I say back to the Lord, God, are you sure? Is that really what you are asking me to do? Did you really mean that, Saul? That guy who has authority to put me in jail, that's who you want me to go to? I'm not saying I won't, God, but I am just wanting a little bit more clarification here, right? Could you have met some other Saul, not the one from Tarsus? And so you have this second moment in time happening for Ananias that is connected to the first, and they're all a part of the reward. And I also noticed that there was a reward that was received for both Saul and Ananias. Saul got his sight back. Saul would eventually become Paul, the greatest missionary that this world has ever known, the missionary to the Gentiles. And what that really means, if you don't understand it this morning, is that you and I, we owe a debt to this Saul of Tarsus who became Paul. Last time I checked, there may be some people who are of Jewish ethnicity in the room, but most of us are Gentiles, right? And Saul became that missionary to those Gentiles, and that caused the seeds of the gospel to go forth into all the world, and those of us who are Christians today owe that debt to this Saul of Tarsus. So the reward for Saul was scales coming off his eyes, being able to see and being able to understand that he was on mission to take the name of Jesus to the people who weren't weren't included in the plan from one perspective. They were always a part of the plan, but you know, the disciples, they had this limited understanding of what was happening there in Jerusalem. And so God puts this Saul of Tarsus on mission, and he becomes Paul, and he writes most of the New Testament. And at the very same time that's happening, Ananias gets to be a part of that blessing. Think about that guy. I think in heaven, Ananias is like, man, I'm the guy that got to pray for Saul. I was there when Jesus caused the scales to fall off his eyes. I got to be a part of that. And so Ananias in heaven gets to see a very visible, very tangible part of the reward that he got to receive anytime a Gentile gets to come to know Jesus. And so there's so much happening in the text this morning, but there are three specific observations that I don't want you to miss. And I've been praying that these three specific observations would reveal to you this morning a reward. A reward that I think is key to helping all of us not miss any of those opportunities. Not miss one of the opportunities that God has put, that God will probably put before many of us in this Thanksgiving holiday to just be included in his plan as we walk with people, as we shop for groceries, as we meet with our family members. Because the thought occurred to me last night is that when we leave this service and we walk out that door, some of us are going to a very real mission field where we will encounter family members who don't know Jesus. And maybe, just maybe, some of us will encounter family members and people to whom the word Christian means, I really don't like you. I'm not saying that's what's in your heart, but what I am saying is that's what they hear when we talk about our faith. And so when we walk out those doors, we have to realize that there's a whole set of obstacles that if we focus on them, they're really, really big. And they seem to be so big that they distract us from what really needs to happen, which is our eyes be solely focused on the author and the finisher of our faith. The one in whom, when we believe, he has the possibility, he gives us the power and the understanding to look past the obstacles and to look directly at what he's doing. So the first observation is this. It's just two words, but Saul. That but is a really big but. You see, it might be in your translation, it might be translated meanwhile. Because you see, there was so much happening in the book of Acts. The early church is exploding. People are coming to know Jesus. That's why we read that it's called the way. People are coming to know and understand that the way led them out of religious Judaism and into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so if we had time this morning to read Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, and 8, we'd understand the context for this really big but. Because what Luke wants us to understand is that while all of these great things happening are happening, there's this scenario, there's this situation. And you see, that really big but is that this guy Saul is a terrorist on mission to kill Christians. And you see, he is exactly breathing these threats out, these murderous threats against the disciples of the Lord. Just humor me for a second and take a really deep, really big, deep breath. And then breathe it out. Sorry if you were over here, there might be some bad breath. These guys have been through a lot this weekend. Man, he's breathing out threats. It's like it is what naturally comes out of this man at this point. He hates these people called Christians. And I understand it, right? He spent all of his life devoted to Judaism, the practice of trying to earn God's love and approval. And along came this carpenter from Galilee who gathered some fishermen, some uneducated fishermen, and exposed them to God's true heart, and it changed everything. And you see, what's at stake for Saul of Tarsus is his entire belief system. So I understand when Luke penned that this guy is still breathing out these murderous threats. Because if what this carpenter from Galilee and what these fishermen are preaching is true, then Paul has to change his entire life. And he's not yet ready to do that. And so this morning, if you find yourself in a place of needing God to do a miraculous thing, I want you to remember. There's a whole lot of verses in the Bible that you could remember, but if you're troubled in a moment, maybe, just maybe, what you needed to hear and what you might need to remember this weekend when your family gathers around a table and there's murderous threats being breathed out to people, you just might need to remember two words, but Saul. How is that a reward for us this morning? Because I think what God wants us to understand is that in the chaos, in all that's happening, in all of this Saul of Tarsus's plans, God is still in control. I don't think it ever happened in the throne room of heaven it ever happened that God goes, "Oh my goodness, there's Saul on the road to Damascus. I better get up off the throne and go do something about that." No, God is always in control. And so oftentimes what we might need to do to realize and receive a reward is just offer that prayer to God and say, "God, I don't understand the situation. The obstacle, it looks like it cannot be overcome, but I know that you exist. I know that you are who you say you are, and I know that you are a God who overcomes, because there was a but Saul, and then everything changed." Second observation that I want you to understand and realize this morning happens in verse 5. Check it out. After being blinded, or after this voice speaks, Saul says back to the voice, "Who are you, Lord?" I don't know how familiar you are with this story, but you see, Saul didn't have a context to have heard the voice of Jesus before. You see, if I was around the corner and you guys were all in here and I said, "Hey, guys," you might, if you were familiar with my voice, be able to say, "Oh, that's Chris. He's calling us. He's asking us to come over here." But right here in this context, Saul of Tarsus had never heard the voice of Jesus before. Yet he responds, and Luke pins it in this way, "Who are you, Lord?" And it's not like, oh, this voice was so grand that he responds in a lowly way to the majestic voice. No, Luke tells us that he responds, "Who are you, Lord?" And notice what Jesus' response is to him. "I am Jesus." You see, I think if we're to receive the type of reward that comes from believing faith, the type of reward that is capable of empowering us not to miss any more moments, we have to come face to face with Jesus. And you see, that's not a one-time encounter, I don't think. It was, in this case, with Saul of Tarsus. But we have to come face to face with the Jesus who always tells us the truth. Jesus' response to him was, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Notice that Jesus was specific. He didn't say, "You know what, I'm Jesus whom you need to know and obey, and here's the things that I want to do in your life. Here's all the things that I want you to change about your life, Saul." No, he just said, "I'm Jesus whom you are persecuting." And I don't want you to be offended at me this morning. And I know it's true for me at times. But usually when I'm looking at an obstacle to sharing my faith, even as a pastor, usually when I'm looking at one of those obstacles, usually what the biggest part of the problem is me. I'm too busy. I might fear their response. I know I'm facing the probability of one this week that it may go badly. I still feel like the Lord's calling me to the conversation. And I'm like, "You know what, Lord, I don't really want to." I'm a lot like Ananias. And as I was praying for us this morning, it dawned on me. It jumped out at me. Just this short little phrase. "I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting." You see, in order for Saul to become Paul, the greatest missionary that ever walked the face of this earth, he had to come face to face with the truth. You're not just walking outside the will of God, Saul. You're persecuting me. And you know, a lot of times when we come face to face with Jesus, and we have to come to grips with the reality that the truth is, most of our excuses are just reasons why we don't want to. Those moments with Jesus, they're short and simple and straight to the truth. And this morning, I don't want you to be offended at me, but maybe, just maybe, some of us entered the room knowing something that God has called us to, but we have a long list of excuses, and we just have to face the truth this morning. That if God is who he says he is, he's greater than any one of those excuses. And if he is the good, good father that he says he is, he'll provide a way. He'll provide exactly what you need in the middle of that circumstance, just like he did for Saul. And finally, number three is this. And I think it's the one I'm most interested in us understanding as a faith family this morning. Did you notice it in verse 15? As God was speaking to Ananias in that second critical moment in time that both are connected to creating the greatest missionary that ever walked the face of this earth, the Lord said to Ananias, "Go to Saul, for he is my chosen, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." You see, the very same Jesus that spoke to Saul, that blinded him, and that had a plan for his life, is speaking to Ananias here in this critical moment. And I think the two words that we need to focus on is the idea that God wanted Ananias to understand that this Saul of Tarsus was a chosen instrument. It was always a part of God's plan for Saul to carry the name of Jesus to the Gentiles. And I think in order for us to really grasp that this morning, I got to come back to my bag of instruments. Because there's one in here that I was just holding on to, just in hopes that in Brian McCleary's brilliance, he could create or compose some music that would help me use the recorder next year at Global Impact. You guys remember that? It's a blast from the past for some of us old people. Fourth or fifth grade, that recorder, everybody got one, got an opportunity to play it. I mean, who doesn't like hot cross buns? That's an awesome classic. Daniel's a great musician. I'm guessing that he could compose a melody that just highlights hot cross buns at the right time to include me. Let's see if I can remember. Wait. You see, the problem is I'm not a musician. I can play hot cross buns. I can try. But you know what? No matter how much I practice it, no matter how much Daniel tries to compose some music that would highlight it, no matter how much I beg and plead Brian to include me next year at Global Impact, that obstacle is probably far too large to ever highlight my passion to be on this stage included with this worship team. Because the truth is, I'm not a musician. And when it comes to being included in what Jesus is doing in your life, in the people that are in the context of your life, and in all the world, the truth is, none of us are the musician. We're all the instrument. And I think the reward this morning is just that. To take your eyes or maybe your hands off of the instrument itself and yield to God. Because when Saul of Tarsus did that, God changed his name to Paul. Used him to write most of the New Testament. To be this missionary that went around that the known world at the time, proclaiming the gospel, uncovering the truth for people that didn't know, such that they could know and understand how much God loved them. and how much it wasn't about a religious system, but how much it was about a relationship and walking in relationship with that good, good Father. And so, you know what? I think it doesn't matter how long your list of excuses or obstacles really is. When you take your hands off of the idea that you are, or when you stop thinking about yourself as the musician, you take your hands off and you realize that you're just the instrument. God will play a song through your life just like he did with Saul of Tarsus in such a way that your life becomes a part of the one song that is being played in all the earth about the glory of God, and you don't miss moments anymore. And so this morning, as we just enter into a time of worship, just wonder if you might collect those observations this morning. And maybe you came to church this morning needing God to do something miraculous, because the chaos of your life needed a but Saul. The chaos of your life needed a reminder that no matter what you're facing in the middle of your circumstances, God is in control. Or maybe you needed just to be reminded that coming face to face with Jesus oftentimes requires us to hear the truth. And maybe maybe this morning is an opportunity just about you trusting him to believe he is who he says he is, that he speaks truth in many ways over your life. And one of the ways is that you're not the musician, you're the instrument. So I want to ask you to stand with me, and as Brian and the guys lead us in worship, I ask some of our college leaders, and if you're a life group leader in the room, to be part of our prayer team that's around the walls. And if you need to just ask somebody to pray for you this morning, don't be afraid. Ask the Lord, God, what's an appropriate response for me this morning? Maybe the appropriate response is just to sing, just to worship, just to allow your participation in this very next part of our service to be your response to God. Maybe you need to ask somebody to pray for you. Maybe you need to sit down and just ask the Lord, in what way is he going to use your life when you walk out those doors to play a song? What I do know is that God is a good Father. He's a big God who can accomplish whatever it is that he desires to accomplish in your life and in my life in these moments. So Jesus, we thank you for the cross. Thank you for the place where you gave your life so that we could understand what is true about not only this text, but the entire Bible, and that we could receive a great reward this morning. So God, I trust you to accomplish all that you desire to accomplish this morning. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place to help us respond to you. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen.